Melissa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website, www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for a free coaching session just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, and welcome to the show today. Well, it's fantastic Fridays here, and we have an exciting show for you today. The Coach Lalisa Show is truly living out the words of the song that opens up the show. You know, we open the show each and every morning with the words, "Ain't no stopping us now. We are on the move. You are on the move." And I tell you, that's how you will get there. You got to be on the move. Just sitting around won't get you there. You may get a lot of rest. You may enjoy watching your current scenery. But if you want to go to the next level, you got to get moving. You got to get up. And we want you to plan that getting up. Make a note. Take out a sheet of paper. Write down what you plan to do. Well, we welcome you to the show today. Again, remember, every Friday throughout the show, I want you to feel free to call in and give us a shout out about your business. Tell us the name of the company, what you do, what product or service you have. Give us your contact information, numbers, and website addresses, so that way people can contact you. Regardless of the type of business, you might be a vendor, you may be a speaker like myself, you may be an author, you may be a life coach, you may have your own daycare center, you may have your own, all kinds of businesses. You may be a party planner, you may be an event planner. There's so many choices in business that it's unreal. You know, I was just doing a slight research on a man by the name of Ray Kroc. Now, I know many of you know who Mr. Ray Kroc is, but some of you may not. But think about this. If you don't know who the man, you may not know the name Ray Kroc, and that's Ray, R-A-Y, Kroc, K-R-O. See, you may not know him, but you know his companies very, very well, and you've probably eaten there within the last year. There was a time when most people could say they had eaten there almost every week, because it was just something about the burger, you know, the two patties, the two all-beef patties on special sauce with cheese, lettuce, pickle, onion, on the sesame seed bun. So many of you know exactly what item I'm talking about. And he is the man that took that concept of franchising, yes, those little golden arches to, oh my God, billions of stores now, just from one concept. Now, he was actually born, you know, it's so interesting, but this man was in the 2 years before I was born, he was already 52 years old. So, and that right there can tell you how old this man was. This man had to then be born in the 1902. So he was just slightly older than my grandmother, my grandmother was born in 1906. Now just imagine had my grandmother discovered the brothers Richard and Maurice, who were the McDonald brothers. And so they had a hamburger shop in Southern California. Just imagine had we lived in Southern California and my grandmother had been the person who discovered them. Well, it wasn't my grandmother, but it was Ray Kroc. And look at McDonald's today. See, that just goes to show you your dream. Oh, my God. Lord, help us to realize the power of one simple dream. And here was a man just working, just a worker, he could have considered himself. He could have said, oh, I'm just a worker. And I know Tuesdays we said we were going to do trivia, but we didn't do trivia in a while. So I think I'm going to throw in a trivia question now and ask people, what was the year that the first McDonald's, yeah, the first McDonald's opened? What was the year and where and what city? What city and what year did we see the first McDonald's? And I was a little girl, and so you can see why I thought McDonald's came around somewhere when I was about 14 or so. But by the time it reached my hometown, which was Cincinnati, Ohio. But no, Cincinnati is not the place where the first McDonald's was. So I'm going to look to see if you're in the chat room, you can type it in. Or if you're on the phone lines, if you raise your hand, I will know that you're in the queue and I will take your call. So your dream is something that you just don't want to let die. And I want to talk to you today on the show. I'm going to be talking about how to take your dream and love it. You see, love, I remember my mother teaching me that love was an action word. And you know when people say they love you, yet they don't act like they love you. Well, my mother said, no, because you got to show a person that you love them. It's by the things that you do and the things you say and the things that you are. But take this dream. You know, we've heard take this job and love it. Well, I say take this dream and love it. Take your dream, whatever that dream is, and really, you know, this is something that God has given you to fulfill in the earth, and he's going to help you. Now, I had posted a comment sometime yesterday on Facebook, where I said that there is going to be a time when there will be people, as you move towards your dream, I pretty much said it this way, when you're moving onto your dreams, you will have to leave some people behind. That's just how it is. You can't take everybody with you where you're going. You know, Lot couldn't even take his own wife. He couldn't even take his own wife, as they were fleeing from the Sodom and Gomorrah that was being destroyed, utterly destroyed by God. He wanted to take his wife, but he couldn't take her. You see, not everybody can go with you into your dream state, into your dream life. Some people will go, yes. But I said, don't worry about that. Don't worry about them. If you don't like your new dream life, you can always go back to your old one. And the people who you left will probably be in the same spot, doing what they were doing before you left, pretty much sitting around waiting for something to happen. It reminds me of the little book, Who Moved My Cheese, by Spencer Johnson. And the two little mice and the two little men. The two little mice were Sniff and Scurry, and the two little people were Him and Haw. You see, some of our friends are hymns and haws. More hymns than haws, because Haw eventually got on up and got to hawing around and found him some cheese. But him was hemmed up, caught up, bound up, couldn't really move forward. So you don't want to be a him. And you want to, it would be nice to be like Sniff and Scurry. And if you haven't read the book, please do read the book by Spencer Johnson. And if you would desire to go through the training on Who Moved My Cheese, I can do the training. I'm for some of you know, I am a trainer. So not to confuse anybody, because you're like, okay, Louisa, you're a coach, you're a trainer, you're a speaker, what? I'm all three. Well, actually, four. Coach, trainer, speaker, and preacher. So that's really four. The author part of me is because I'm a speaker. So as a speaker, you will have a book. It just goes together like light and rice go together. Well, speaker, author goes together. Oh, also, yeah, I'm sorry, one more, entrepreneur. So speaker, author, trainer, entrepreneur, and coach. So the trainer side, so those are the like five hats that I wear. So the trainer side of me will allow me to come, and I can do the training right there for you. I would love to do that, actually. I would love to send you through that training that I do. And it's fun. It's fun. I'll make it interesting, I promise. I promise to make it interesting for you. I'll put you in activities. And at the end of it, believe me, you won't stop telling me how great you, how much you got out of it. You don't need to tell me how great I am. That's not what it's about. But you will say that it was a great training and how much you got out of it. I've already conducted the training several times, and that's what people say each and every time. So I think I'm going to do a really big session on it, especially now. I think even though the book came out probably somewhere in the 1990s, it needs to be resurrected because of the people losing their jobs and people's careers being in jeopardy, people scared and what have you. They don't know what to do. Basically, their cheese has been moved. I think about those 167 police officers in the city of Newark, New Jersey, that all lost their jobs. Well, it's just that their cheese has been moved. When you look at the 800 individuals from the airline industry or any other industry that has lost their job, when you look at the government workers who have were recently informed that they were in a pay creep. Pay freeze. Their cheese has been moved. So this is a great time. So any of you trainers out there, that's my tip to you. If you want to do that training, you can really probably help a lot of people, because so many people, once the cheese is gone, they're on the verge, and some people are on the verge of becoming extinct, because they won't do like Sniff and Scurry, and they won't do like Haw eventually did. They will end up maybe like him, I'm not sure. But it's a fun training. It's a fun learning. You can apply it to so many different parts of your life, your professional life, your personal life, your career life, any area of your life that you choose. So I just thought I would throw that in. But today I want you to focus on taking your dream and loving it. Now, you see we have the word taking, I-N-G. That right there denotes action. I'm taking. I'm actually getting. I'm moving. I'm doing. Going somewhere. And, you know, you're going to hear me talk a lot about living your dream, finding your purpose, discovering what you are passionate about. And I know for some people, this is going to be the absolute major challenge of your life. And that's why I don't just come on and talk about it in a few seconds and run off to another topic. I know that for some of you, for not all of you, but for some of you, finding your purpose and discovering your passion, and get this, and releasing your power is your ultimate challenge in life. One of the reasons I know this is because for the past 12 years, everywhere I've gone to speak or do a workshop or do a seminar, the major question for some people or the major confusion for some people is, but I don't know my purpose and I don't know what I'm passionate about. I've been around crowds and I've gone to seminars and I've asked people, what do you want to do? I don't know. So that's what I'm talking about. I don't have an actual percentage, but it's probably around somewhere around 60% of people. And that's very large. That's over half of people who don't know what their purpose is, don't know what they're passionate about, don't even know what they want to do, don't even know what they would like to do, not even sure what they're good at. And so that's why I come on here. I want to empower people, motivate people, ignite, set on fire. Though someone said you got to set your own self on fire. But you got to get on fire some kind of way. It don't matter how you do it. I can set you on fire. You can set yourself on fire. The point is you got to get on fire. That's the key here. Because fire spreads. And so when you get one part of your life, any part of your life on fire, just like any natural fire, fire spreads. I guarantee you, if I set a fire right there in the corner of this room and leave it, trust me, it'll burn this whole house down. And if the people don't get here quick enough, the fire control people, firefighters, you probably got some firefighters in your life, though. They're putting out your fire every time they see a little spark. But that's a whole nother segment. But yeah, we got some firefighters in our life. These are individuals. As soon as we spark up, as soon as there's a little flicker of flame, they put it out like they're the fire marshal, the head of the fire department. And they're on a volunteer basis. Nobody's paying them. Some people just volunteer. You know, here in New Jersey, we have a lot of volunteer fire. Half the fire team in the state of New Jersey are volunteers, which is great in a way because I'd rather have a person putting out a fire because they love to do it and passionate about it than just for a paycheck, though I'm very glad they get paid because I've seen firsthand the work that they do. Not an easy job, people, so I'm glad they get paid to do that. But I'm so honored and humbled by the people that do it for free. My God, running into a burning building, talk about passion. Talk about doing something that you love, something from your heart. That'll set your passion on fire, but got to get ignited. Got to get on fire, and fire will spread. So if you light up, if you set on fire the area of your life that deals with living better or eating better or knowing more or getting your education down better, or becoming this or doing that, you set one part on fire, it's going to spread to the other areas of your life. And that's how eventually it'll all work together for good, okay? It's going to all work together for good for those who love the Lord, absolutely. But it's going to work for everybody because it's a principle that God has put in the universe, and they work for everyone. That's why he told us not to separate the wheat from the tares, because we don't know what is what, because it works for everyone. So my opening question today, I asked you, if you knew a man named Ray Kroc, and what did you know about Ray Kroc? You know, Ray Kroc, for all you business owners out there, you may want to get to know Ray Kroc and actually study him. He's the guy who came up with McDonald's, and it was the McDonald's brothers, yes, that had a little tiny restaurant, just a little very tiny restaurant there, Richard and Maurice. But it was Mr. Ray Kroc that came up with the idea of franchising and causing McDonald's to be what it is today. And as you know, the company today is very, very large. As a matter of fact, to get a franchise today of McDonald's, you need a few million dollars, okay, just to keep that in your head. Just imagine, your franchise could be so big that for anyone to join your franchise, they would need a few million dollars. Well, I tell you what, that'll get you going. Okay, so business owners, you are more than welcome to call in today and let us know about your business. Tell us what you do, where you're located, and how people can get in touch with you. Okay. Now, I heard that McDonald's was actually going to come up with, or they had to come up with a new French fry. I had heard they'd come up with a new French fry, McDonald's. And then I had a trivia question going, though I know we didn't do trivia on Tuesdays. But I asked you a trivia question. I said, what year was the first McDonald's opened and what city? Well, back to taking your dream and loving it. Take your dream and love it. You got to love your dream, but you got to have a dream. You got to have that passion. You got to be passionate. And so, like for me, I am so passionate about helping people change their life. I am so, oh my God, let me tell you, I can work 24 hours a day helping someone change their life, helping someone get out of the muck and the mire, helping someone get out of a state of depression, helping someone overcome some traumatic grief or some illness, or helping someone overcome devastation of divorce or separation. That's what I'm passionate about. Helping someone realize their dreams, talking to them and saying, now, where do you want to start? What do you want to do? And I mentioned on Facebook that there's this, yes, oh, we have a caller that's opened up her phone line. Caller from 973 area code. You are on the air with Coach LaLisa. Good morning.
Good morning, Coach LaLisa. This is Tina.
Hi, Tina. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, Tina, I am super fantastic today. This is a great, great day. What's going on?
Well, I want to try to answer the trivia question. Hopefully I'm correct. Was it 1940 in San Bernardino, California?
Well, that might be where, that may be the place where the first, where Maurice and Richard had their restaurant, because they were in Southern California.
Oh, okay.
That may be the place. So you're probably absolutely right on that. But now to answer the question, where the first McDonald's
so that would be
come back. Okay, go ahead.
I think it's, I found two answers. The other one, Des Plaines, D-E-S Plaines.
Okay, and where is that at?
Was that Illinois? No.
Okay, somewhere, yeah, because actually you're almost right. It's in Chicago, so that could be a community of Chicago. If we had our Chicago expert on with us this morning, he would tell us it's the first Walker. But the first shop did open, yes. So did you give us a year yet?
Oh, man. Is it still 1940? Because I think the other one could have been 1954. So it's still
1955. You're close enough. Ding, ding, ding. We're going to give you the prize anyway. You're close enough. So guess what? You already have one. I know you already have what? You already have an hour free coaching session. So guess
yes.
what? We're going to add another half hour to you for your answer
oh, great.
Today.
Great.
So I can't wait to get started on that. Now we have another call. Let's see what this caller wanted to say. Caller
okay.
46. Caller 469, you're on the air.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Deborah Calhoun from Dallas, Texas.
Good morning, Deborah from Dallas.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Great and fantastic.
Great. I just want to confirm, because I'm from Chicago as well, this plane is a suburb of Illinois.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank
you're welcome.
Oh, so you're okay. So you're another Chicagoan. Awesome.
Yeah, you know, we all, by the way, from here, from there, from here.
I know, right? We're all from here. From
yes.
There. So the travel, but I can't wait, Deborah, to meet you. I'm coming to Dallas, Texas, and I can't wait. I have a sister that actually lives there.
Okay, great.
So, and I had another sister who lived there for about 10 years, and I was down there almost every year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We used to go to a retreat center. I can't think of the exact name, but there's a Baptist retreat center there. I've been
mm-hmm.
there many,
mm-hmm.
there many times for women retreat. They have the inspiration point there.
Correct.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I can't think. Something. Baptist retreat. Oh, beautiful. And actually, they were just there in November. As a matter of fact, I would have been there, but the same weekend, I was at Got Motivation then speak in Newark.
Yes, they told me about that.
They had their 9th annual retreat, and I wanted to be there with them, and then I got the opportunity to do Got Motivation and Speak, and I told them I had done the retreat about 6 years, and I said, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to do Motivation to Got Speak this year, but I will probably be back in Dallas next year for that retreat. It'll be their 10th year, and I think it's going to be a great, great, great celebration.
Right.
So,
hey, I have a question I want to throw out there to everyone, and tell me if I'm right or correct. I went to a gathering last night at downtown Plaza, at Crown Plaza, downtown in Dallas last night, to a convention, a gathering for these African-American sisters. They're all millionaires, and the business. And, you know, after the speaking about the business and motivating and pumping everybody about the business, you know, it was time to network and socialize because they had a gathering afterwards. So we were waiting to take pictures with them, but they were more concerned about taking pictures with each other. So I'm like, okay, let's take a picture. I go up there. We all waiting in line taking a picture with them. She was the one that was a double millionaire. She was more concerned of taking pictures of herself and taking pictures, you know, putting her pictures, loading them on Facebook as we standing there holding her. And I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm uploading my pictures to Facebook. And I thought that was so rude and so disrespectful that we're standing there, like six of us, waiting to take a picture with you if somebody got a camera. And other people just looking at us, and you're sitting here uploading your pictures with Facebook. Okay, so I let her forgive on that one. So the night went on through. We're still waiting to take a picture by herself solo with her. She was still more concerned being in her VIP section, her and her other millionaire friends, and taking a picture of herself. And the whole night went that way to about 11:30. When we left, they were still taking pictures of themselves. So when we got in the elevator, I said, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I really spent money to come out because I think it was $40 to go in. And I said, everything was okay and pleasing. I said, but I was very displeased at the main attraction speaker because it was all about her. It wasn't about the people. And I said, I really love her and respect her and her success, but I was very disappointed in her people skill set of being around us because she didn't show us any love, any attention. It was all about her. And I say, I'm going to take that, not speak a negative thing about it, but I'm going to take it and not be the same type of person she is. When I get a level, certain level as she is, I want to make sure I never do that to people that have supported me or spent money to come out and see me and be available. All right, go ahead and take it on, Lisa and Tina.
Okay, well, that's a great example of so many things, and we certainly won't be able to cover it all on this show, but we will be talking about bits and pieces of that, I'm sure, throughout the rest of the year and next year. And Tina, did you have any comments that you wanted to say, to share?
Well, I have encountered people like that before, and unfortunately, I believe that that individual has forgotten that the success was because people supported that person. So you can't become so successful that you forget about the people who support you, whether they tune into your show, whether they read your book, buy your clothes, whatever it may be. You have to remember that your success is based upon others also investing in you. It's not just based upon you investing in yourself all the time.
Correct. Awesome. Well, just in case, Deborah, you didn't know, Tina, she's so cute, I love her. Tina is our resident expert on professionalism and things of that nature. Tina has held various positions as a leader of major corporations, and she knows a lot. And that, and so you know how you ever used to watch the Oprah show and then they would bring on different people to be an expert on a certain topic? Well, that's our Dina. So that's, yeah, I definitely totally can see where she is so right. You're right. And, you know, and that's a great question and a great comment, Deborah, because, you know, that's what you noticed. So you noticed what you noticed. And there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody has a right to see what they see. I've done things like that in jobs. I often used to tell myself that one day, I used to say, like starting going back to maybe 20 years ago, I used to say, I'm going to make a great manager one day. And it was because of all my poor managers, more so than the good ones.
Right.
All the poor ones showed me what not to do.
That is true.
Sure enough, I kept saying that. And in 1996, 95 rather, I was given the opportunity to be a manager when the Dressborn Company Corporation hired me to be a store manager in their store. I was given a staff of 8 or 9 people, $1 million. The first store I managed, I was assistant manager at both the one in New Jersey and in Linden, New Jersey, on Route 1 and 9 out by Merck. And then I was also an assistant manager at the one that's over by the Toys R Us on 22 and Union, but when it was on the other side of the parking lot. And their first store they gave, and then I managed the store in Bricktown, New Jersey for about 6 months. But then they gave me the first, I was only acting manager there because all of the managers, they had no manager there. So they put me there to act as manager, and I did. And then they gave me the Garwood, so the Garwood, New Jersey store in Garwood, New Jersey, on South Avenue. It was the very first store that I managed. And we had a staff of about 10 or so, part-time, some full-time staff. And it was a, it wasn't quite a million-dollar store, though. It was probably about a $500,000 store. But then they gave me the store in Secaucus, where there's the outlets in Secaucus, New Jersey. So it's the outlet mall, and I had that store. That was my, that was a million-dollar store. So at that time, that was a big deal for Dressbarn. If you managed a million-dollar store, you know, you were, your name got around to the corporate office and all of that. But it's so when I, but I, when I was a manager, I remember all those scenarios when I said, I can't act like those other, you know, bad managers. And I would do creative things for my staff at the time, and, you know, so they loved it and kept them happy. And the same thing happened when I became a college professor. I thought, I'm going to not do any of the stuff that the poor professors did, okay? So my students tend to, you know, not all of them, you know, are into Little Lisa per se, but they, I try my best to be a good professor. I try to not be any of the stuff I didn't like unreasonable and putting demands on students that you know they really can't meet. So when they don't meet them, you give them a failing grade, but you knew they couldn't, you knew they couldn't meet it anyway.
So
right. So I try not to do that. I try to realize that, you know, I'm dealing with students who are returning to school in a lot of scenarios, and they have a life. They have many things going on. A car breaks down, the children get sick, and these things. Even for the 18-year-olds today have issues in their life. And, you know, so just try to handle each student different, separately, though yet they are class. And so anyway, but, yeah, some people do that, and some people don't. Some people, they don't look back and say, they don't, as they're going through life, they don't recognize the people around them and say, well, one day when I get there, I'm not going to do that. Some people never do that. And I think...
Let me interject. To me, as I stated, she had an opportunity to win. It's almost like a ministry. You had an opportunity to win souls. She had an opportunity to win a lot of people. But just because it was about her, and I don't know, maybe this was her vacation, but maybe they shouldn't have put her as a spotlight speaker, a spotlight person. She could have really, really helped a lot of people. She wasn't focusing on the people. It was about her. And, you know, the Bible always says, examine yourself first. So I went with five other women, and we all had separate cars. But when we were going in the elevator, I said, let me tell you one thing, critique, that I did not like about this gathering. And everybody said the same thing right off the bat. That was a confirmation that it wasn't like envious or jealousy or self-centered or all about me, me, me. It was the same thing. And once again, I said, as I move up the ladder in my life, that I will always take negative stuff and make it a positive and not be like that. And I pray to God that I never forget where I come from. I pray to God I never forget to not connect with people, because it's all about people. And if you stay grounded with people, then you never fail, because the people will keep you real and keep you real in your life. And it, you know what I'm saying? So that's what it's all about. It's about, I never forget that it's the journey that you're going on. Not like you said, getting to the destination, the journey of touching so many people's lives. Even right now, connecting with you and talking to Tina, whether I never meet you again, you're part of my journey, you're part of my destiny. And I can always remember and smile about this moment or this morning or one morning you said something, which you say something funny every morning, you know that brightened my day. So, I mean, that's the beauty about everything. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, that, there you go. That's absolutely right. And a journey, and it's a journey for all of us, whether we recognize it or not. And whoever that woman is, she's on a journey as well. And, you know, we pray that she, you know, she, we never know what, you just never, I so learned, we never know what is really going on inside of people. Never. No matter how much we think we know, we just never know. And anyway, that's like a whole nother area of dealing with people, is because, I mean, there has been so many times I was way off base in what I thought a person was thinking or doing, even though it looked like something, you you know, but that can happen too. But we do know this is the key here is that you're going to be a millionaire soon, and God's going to give you that same test. Everybody gets the same test and the same test. That's, I think, that, yes, go ahead. Oh, and we have, okay. Were you going to say something, Deborah?
I was agreeing with you. Yes, I am going to become a millionaire.
Talking about America's top model, America's next model, America's next millionaire. That's the show we need to do. Yeah, I'm going to start that one. America's next millionaire, instead of the one show they had, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Okay, I better take this caller because she can't always be on long. Free, turn your music on and we can hear you. She was trying to give us a song or so. Sometimes her phone, the number one key, comes on and she's not really trying to speak. But I said, you never know, her hand is raised. So I was going to take her call. But so welcome each and every person. If you just tuned in, show, this is Friday, and we are here on the Coach and Lisa Show. The topic for today, the word of the day, what you got to take with you, is that you got to take this dream and love it. Take your dream. Love your dream. You know, you got to get busy working on your dream. That's what God put you here for. He put you here to live out your purpose. What is your dream? Like we were just talking. For some of you, your dream is to help people achieve greatness in their lives. For some of you, your dream is to discover a cure for cancer or HIV. Your dream might be to change the landscape of the homeless population. Whatever it is, you can do it. I know my sister there in Cincinnati has her vision. She sees everyone wearing beautifully cleaned and crisp clothing. That's what her visions look like. So not the hamburger like the McDonald's people, but her dream, not the computer on every desktop. Remember, that was the vision that Bill Gates had long before he came up with Microsoft and all of that. He had a vision. He saw computers on every desktop and in every household, and his vision has come to fruition. The McDonald's guy saw a vision. Hope sees a vision of people's clothes being crisp and clean, and therefore she opened her own dry cleaners right there in Cincinnati, Ohio. And she's been very successful. She's four. She'll be celebrating 4 years. Your dream has to be birth. Now, you have to give life to it. We talked about the fire, setting that fire, setting it on fire, igniting yourself. If you don't know how to set your life on fire, give me a call. Good morning also to those in the chat room. Good morning, Coach K, and good morning, Kiva. Wow, it's been wonderful. I told you all about the awesome retreat that we're having. We were going to be in Sandy Cove, Northeast Maryland, but we've had to move the venue. So let you know, it's going to be in Newark, New Jersey. We're going to be at the Wyndham Hotel. We have Friday, a spa night. It's going to take place next Friday, the 10th. I'll be there. We have to come get some pampering on Friday. Saturday, all day, we have continental breakfast, lunch, workshops on how to find your purpose, how to discover your purpose, how to go after your passion, how to plan your life. We're going to have actually opportunity for you there to put a plan in place. Also, next Saturday, I'm going to be doing a short marketing seminar for all of you authors who have your books written. You have them sitting in the garage, stacks and stacks of them. Come so we can talk about how to market, how to get book deals, how to get the books distributed, how to set yourself up as a speaker so that you can speak and sell copies. It's not that hard. It doesn't take that much money. Come, because I'm going to be doing that on Saturday. Also on Saturday, I have a young lady who is an author. She's going to come and talk about her book. We have a lady doing something on healing for thy soul. And you got to come for this, Miss Elaine Haskins. So come out. This is a woman that you want to get to meet. She's a lovely, lovely woman. She also works for a very, very popular airline company. And she has all kinds of knowledge. She travels all over the world. So you want to make your way to the Wyndham. The conference registration is just $50. The retreat is just $50 all day Saturday and Friday night. Now, if you desire, since it's in the New Jersey area and you're in this area, if you desire to stay at the hotel, they do have rooms blocked off. So it's just the one night, and the rooms are $85. That's the discount retreat rate that they're giving us. And you can stay overnight Friday night. I will be staying overnight Friday night. If you want to share a room with someone, of course, that will take your costs down. So if you share a room with someone and there's two of you in the room, then you're going to spend $40-something dollars a night. So it's not that bad, but it's a wonderful, wonderful place. If you're in the Maryland area, Connecticut, anywhere close by, New York, and you want to come and see what it is that we do in person, if you like this, what we do on the phone, just imagine what we do in person. Believe me, you, it's better. So if you can make it there, we'd love to have you. That's going to be this coming, not this weekend, but next weekend. For those of you who have access to a radio, an internet, I will be on the Gospel, the Gospel Hour of Praise. I will be on their show. Tomorrow they're on IBNradio.com. I will give you the exact address. I will be a guest on Lady Flag. She is the host. I will be on her show tomorrow. On March 2nd, I will be speaking at a high school in Newark. I'm not sure which one. January the 14th and 15th, we will be doing a motivational festival at a place at one of the venues in Newark, so stay tuned for that. And this, the rest of the month, there's all kinds of activities that are taking place where you can come get your dream on, you know, and say, get your, they used to, when they want to get people in the club, they say, come get your drink on. Well, we want you to come to the events and get your dream on. Get it going. I'm going to be a ball of fire in the place, and let me tell you, if you don't want to live your dream, you may not want to come around Lalisa, because you come around me, we're about to make it happen. I'm going to, what's your dream? Let's get going. Let's get started. Let's get it done. Okay? Let's get it done. I want to get it done. I hope you want to get it done, too. So today, I want you to remember, as you're taking your dream and you're loving it, okay, when you're looking at what it is that you're doing, remember this. You have to act as if you already have it. See, act as if you're already there. Don't wait till you get there to start acting like you have your dream. You want to wake up each and every day as if you already have it. I remember when I was a file clerk at Valcor Engineering. Some of you heard me tell this story before. I was a file clerk making less than $4 an hour. It was in 1997 when I took a one-day temp assignment as a file clerk, just one day. No guarantees of nothing. I just one day assignment. And I took the job, and by the end of the day, the director of the department, Mr. John Stewart, because I'll never forget him, I was newly fresh into New Jersey, didn't have a dime, would have been homeless if it wasn't for my other sister, who at the time was living in the Colonnades with her husband and her two daughters. They let me share one of their daughters' bunk beds. So I'll always have much respect and love for Kim and Gretchen. Those are my nieces who thought it was cute that they got to sleep in the same bed together and laugh and giggle because they had their own bed and they had bunk beds. And I had to sleep, my sister let me sleep in one of the bunk beds. I'll never forget it. I was broke. I had no money. I'd just recently gotten out of jail, and I knew I had to get away from Cincinnati because of the life I had lived. I thought, who would hire me? Who would consider me for anything? So my sister was in New Jersey. They said, come. I came. I stayed in her apartment, and I went the next morning down to Olston's, which is no longer, in, they changed their name or something. I think they're Core Staff now, but it was Olston's, O-L-S-T, and I went down to their, I looked them up in the phone book because we didn't have internet back then. I looked them up in the phone book, found out they were at 50 Park Place, Newark, New Jersey. I had never been to New Jersey a day in my life. I got to Park Place somehow, I don't remember, but Colonnades isn't that far from downtown Newark. I got myself there with my only little outfit, and the lady said, and I said to the, it was a decent looking outfit now. I didn't go down there looking shabby, but I went down there looking good enough for the lady to put me in an office out in Springfield, New Jersey, versus throwing me in some factory in Belleville or anywhere else. I didn't know cities then, but I'm just saying. But she put me in an office in Springfield, New Jersey, to be a file clerk because I knew my ABCs. They gave you like a little test. I had nothing but my GED at the time. And I knew my ABCs. I knew how to count from 1 to 10. So they sent me to be a file clerk, and I did. And at the end of the day, the guy, because it was only one day, somebody was out sick or something. I don't know what it was, but it was a one-day assignment. Nobody was out sick. They had had a hard time keeping someone in the job, and they were bringing in temps to see who they wanted to, you know, offer a job to. Well, I went there, and then one day, at the end of the day, and I was maybe about their 10th temp in, like, the past 2 weeks. And so that's why they made it a one-day assignment. And they explained all this to me later. I didn't know all this. Going in the door, I had no clue. But I went there, and in that one day, I act as if I was the CFF. The chief filing officer, the CFO rather, the chief filing officer. I filed their papers as if, so you got to act as if I owned the file company. Well, there you have it. That's what happened to me. And I, at the end of the day, he offered me a job. That's 23 years ago. That was October of 1987. And as they would say, the rest is history. And if you want to know the history of the rest, you can just easily get a copy of my resume, and you will see how the rest is truly history. I just told you I came with nothing, GED, working as a one-day file clerk at Valcor Engineering. As a matter of fact, I've had several jobs in New Jersey since that time. And that I no longer put Valcor on my resume because I don't have room, but in my curriculum vitae, it's probably there. But coming to New Jersey started me on a journey that brought my dream to reality. So when I say take this dream and love it, that means you got to live every day as if it's your last. You have to love what you're doing, and you have to act. See, that's the secret weapon to success, is acting as if. Let's just say you want to be a millionaire. Well, start acting as if you're a millionaire right where you are. So how are you going to do that? Well, first you need to go and study on some things about how a millionaire would act. Another thing I did when I was working at Valcor, I was in the, see, God, he fixes everything, y'all. He already has it laid out. So the place they had me working was in the purchasing department, not the HR department, not the accounting department, not the factory. They had me in the purchasing department, and that's the job they offered me, and I stayed there 5 years. But while I was in the purchasing department, my job was to file papers, right? Well, a lot of times, the companies that they were doing business with, a lot of them were small business owners, and they would come upstairs. You know how salespeople are. They would come up, and many of them owned the companies that they were also the salesperson for. Many of them would come upstairs, right? They had no need to really talk to LaLisa because I was just a, quote-unquote, file clerk. I was not the buyer. I was not an assistant buyer. I was the file clerk. But your attitude, this is where I'm going to prove that your attitude is everything. It has nothing to do with titles. Your attitude, act as if. So here I am in this department, myself, Cindy, John Stewart, there was a woman named Sue, and I think there was one other person, I can't think of who it was. It was almost, they were all buyers, and then John Stewart was the man, the director. Here I am, the file clerk. But because of the way I carried myself, as if I was a CEO, when the person would come into the department, they used to be attracted to my spirit. And at that time, I wasn't even trying to be all that, you know, a Christian. I was hanging out in bars and clubs and partying and doing stuff I can't even mention here on the radio. So they were coming in, but they were attracted to this attitude of, you know what, you're doing okay, you're happy, you've got a good mood, whatever. And they would find their way to my desk. And sometimes they did need to see me because they needed to ask me about an order that I had to look up. But a lot of times they really didn't. But I'm saying all this to say that, but what I would do with them when they got to me is I would begin to talk to them because I'm not a shy person, as you all probably can tell. And I always got something to say, as you all can probably tell. But I try to tell people these are my strengths, not weaknesses, as I had been led to believe as I was a child. Oh, you talk too much. Oh, be quiet. But my talking got me something because I began to talk to them. And I began to learn what an entrepreneur was. And that's where the entrepreneur spirit was birthed in me. Though I had seen my grandfather who owned a store all my life. My mother used to work there. That's how she met my daddy. So I knew about being an entrepreneur. My father had his own dry cleaners at one point in time. He also sold Amway. My mom sold Avon and had many other things that she sold Tupperware. So she was a very enterprising woman. I saw this all my life growing up, but the spirit wasn't really birthed. The seed was planted, no doubt. The seed was planted, watching them. But it was really birth. You know, the sperm is planted, but the birth comes 9 months later. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's planted at one time, but the birth comes at another time. So the birth of the entrepreneur spirit happened then, okay? So I just wanted to share that. So your dream is like that. Your dream has been planted. It's a seed. Now it needs to be birthed. And I don't think, Miss Hope, I'm going to keep saying that. Yeah, she's at her dry cleaner. That's what, you just heard the press going down. So wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to share with you today. Take your dream and love it. Love means putting action to it. So take your dream. Love is an action word. So take a dream, put some action to it, love on it, make it happen. Get with people like Tina said and like Deborah said, and I know Coach K and Kiva would also agree with us there in the chat room, and also the Motivation Master. So glad you could also be with us throughout the show. Ah, you come a long way, baby. Yeah, Coach K, I could have made that commercial. You come a long way, baby. And we got so much more to go. That's just the tip of the iceberg. And so you're right. Here's where we're headed. On Monday, this is going to be awesome because I'm going to have had my interview with Miss Flagg. I'm going to have had my meeting with the woman from Atlanta, Georgia, where we're going to come together, and we have a major project we're working on. I got to get with director Joshua Coates, the movie of Iniquity, which I have a very small part. I got to get with him because I know they already started filming the movie, and there's just a few days left of filming. So I got to see how I'm going to get down to Philadelphia to do my part in the movie Iniquity. I'm so excited about it. I just have a very small part, two lines, but that's all I can handle since I've never been in a movie before. other than the movie of my own life, and which all of us have, and how have you played your parts? Okay? How have you played your parts in the movie called You? Okay, I'm going to leave you with that. It's been a great show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you, Miss Tina, for your awesome comments. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you for those others of you who are on the line. Take this dream and love it. Have a great, powerful weekend. Keep on getting up. Keep moving to the top. Don't stop. And when negativity comes in your way, do like my good friend Wali Hakeem says, you got to knock it out. Boop, boop. All right. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back on Monday.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. But we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.